Reading Psalm 47 from Psalms for Praying by Nan Merrill. Clap your hands, all peoples. Acclaim the Creator with loud songs of joy. Love invites the people to co-creation, the nations to peace. Love is our birthright, our heritage, to be shared with all. Let love rise up to shouts of acclamation. Join in the cosmic celebration. For love has created the universe. Let us dance to the flute and the harp. Love reigns over the nations, awaiting an answer to its call. May the leaders of the nation gather to bring peace and justice to all. For the earth belongs to love, who yearns to see creation healed. Sing praises to the beloved. A surprising thing happened to me recently. As part of a global effort to pray for Earth during the 2 weeks of the climate summit in Paris, a few of us, including a few of you, gathered early mornings outdoors on the south side of Angie Smith Chapel at Oklahoma City University. For about 45 minutes each day, we walked silently, slowly, very slowly, mindful of each breath and each step forward across the frosty grass, all the while mindful as well of the color of autumn's last leaves, the birds, the sky, busy squirrels, the sound of cars and trucks on 23rd Street, the negotiators in Paris, and the cry of an ailing planet. During the climate summit talks, many around the planet were similarly holding Earth, silently saying with one step and one in-breath, breathing in with Mother Earth, and saying with the next step and an out-breath, breathing out with Mother Earth. A few days into this walking meditation, I found myself thinking about the life of Earth as I took a step forward and a breath in, and also found that my meditation words had changed. I found myself saying silently, breathing in love and healing from Earth. Without forethought, I'd begun to think about life coming up from the earth, the grass, my left leg, and passing through my heart connected to all life on Earth. As I imagined earth energy passing through me and all life on Earth, I thought of it going down my right leg and back into the earth, and said silently, breathing out love and healing to Earth. This continued for a few mornings, and then somehow it shifted again. As I was less aware of birds and trees and negotiators in Paris, I became most aware of the noisy rush hour traffic on 23rd Street, a crescendoing reminder of the great need of that great species, humanity. I began to hold Earth's humanity in my steps and in my breath, and then there came a deepening awareness. Humanity greatly needs Earth's healing. Earth's poisoning and the extinction of species of plant and animal and insect and microorganisms at the rate of 100 to 200 a week is largely the result of human action through destruction of habitat, pollution of air and water and soil, the unbridled use of chemicals. That one morning nearing the end of the climate summit, energy that really felt like love, moving from the grass up my left leg through my heart, down my right leg into the grass, into the soil, love moving up from earth through all humanity and creation, and love pouring from humanity back to earth. Earth's cry sounded clearly to me. For Earth to heal, humanity must heal. From the global intention of holding Earth, I was moved into also specifically holding humanity in all its power and fragility, and began to breathe Earth's healing upon our own species. Here was Earth's life-giving circle of loving communion and healing. Here was a shimmering awareness of a wondrous paradox. Earth however ailing at the hands of humans, can heal us. Earth can heal us. How in the world will this ever happen? How can humanity open to Earth's healing and at the same time help save Earth from the colossal tragic impact of human arrogance, entitlement, and greed? It's a magnificent paradox and a deeper understanding of our life that speaks to the wonder of the great force of life. There is a distinct connection between loving the earth, celebrating the earth, healing the earth, and being healed by the earth. I think humanity could be on the verge of a new spiritual emergence. And to facilitate that emergence, our work is a lot more pleasant than you might think. That's good news, right? A couple of summers ago, barn swallows carried beads of mud to the west corner of my front porch at Turtle Rock Farm and built a nest. Then they abandoned that nest without laying any eggs. Early last summer, I noticed a Say Phoebe couple visiting this abandoned nest. They both made several trips to take a look, flying up to it, then fluttering away. One day, I noticed a Phoebe sitting in the old nest when another flew up with a beak full of dried grass. The one sitting seemed to be preventing the other from rebuilding the nest. They must have come to some agreement, however, because within a few days, they returned and the female began rebuilding the nest. For days, she carried little beads of mud, enlarging and remodeling the home. Then for several more days, she brought dried grass and the downiest, those softest floaty feathers. And with her beak, she poked in the softness, then hopped into the nest, tamped the feathers and grasses with her feet, her body shaking all over. And then she sat down and snuggled into the nest as if trying out the fit, trying to see if it was soft enough. The male Phoebe was never far away, sitting on a nearby branch of the big old hackberry tree at the corner of the porch. He often called to her a breathy, "Phoebe, Phoebe." She laid four eggs and then sat motionless to keep them warm. He kept watch when she flew away briefly for a sip of water or a snack. And when the babes came, he brought her worms, which she smashed in her beak and then shared with the little ones their beaks agape. As they grew bigger and mom spent more time off the nest, both parents brought worms to feed their children. I was fearful that the nest wasn't quite big enough and for those rambunctious growing birds, that one little Phoebe might topple out and into the jaws of a cat. But that never happened. The nest was big enough. The Phoebes raised not one but two families, the second with three babes, this summer on the front porch at the farmhouse. As far as I know, they never consulted the website eHow on how to build a nest or any parenting book on the best diet for their babies. They, of course, knew what to do in every respect. I could watch them from the dining room windows without disturbing them, and so I did, as you can tell. I watched off and on for several weeks. For all those weeks, I watched the bird couple give complete attention and devoted care for each other and for their family. And I was profoundly touched. What a wondrous world we live in. Every day, there are zillions of unseen, wondrous connections on this magnificent planet, in this life of zillions of parts of Earth, including billions of carriers of the human spirit. In this little bird family, I could see the wonder of our life here. And that is my job. It is all our jobs. As humans, we can reflect on life in all its forms. I can watch the Phoebe family and be in awe. I can watch that beautiful spider, the orb weaver, who also took up residence on the porch this summer. It created its ingenious sticky web, sat motionless for hours until a huge horsefly got trapped. Then Spider dashed down its zigzaggy non-sticky line in the middle of the web and quickly wrapped its prey in silken fiber, saving it for dinner. I can watch Orb Weaver and be in awe. I can listen to Mockingbird before dawn and marvel again that it sings everybody's song. I can listen to Mockingbird and be in awe. I can hear a recording made on a cell phone of my nephew Ben's excited and tear-filled voice announced to his wife the very moment that she has delivered their baby, "Abby, it's a boy." And I can hear her exhausted and happy reply softly, "It's a boy." I can listen and hear their awe. What an amazing piece of work we humans get to offer, to observe, reflect, and celebrate the earth life of which we are part, an interdependent part of a great, organic, evolving earth system of life. This spirituality, this particular understanding of our work as part of God's creation, is a paradigm shift for us. For a long, long time, Western civilization and religion have considered the world we live in, the earth community, to be flawed. Thomas Berry, the Passionist priest and earth scholar, wrote in The Dream of the Earth, "Western religious traditions have been so occupied with redemptive healing of a flawed world that they tend to ignore creation. We know now that if creation is considered a second-rate hand-me-down compared to first-rate heaven, that earth will suffer the overuse and abuse of humans. In our time, we've begun to experience creation differently, but this storyline of the need for redemptive healing is such a long, habitual view of the world that even though we have begun to view creation as good, as the book of Genesis claims, we are still in the redemptive healing mode. How often do we hear church people say, "We are here to transform the world," as if the world is inherently bad? Granted, there is great suffering in the world, but much of that is human-caused. Inherently, Earth is a magnificent organic system of which humans are a magnificent part. We must emerge into this kind of worldview. Berry writes, "From the prophetic period onward, our scriptures speak to us of a period when the human condition would be surmounted, when justice would reign, when the fruits of the earth would be available in lavish abundance. All this fostered a profound resentment against our human condition. We somehow did not belong to the community of earth. We were not an integral component of the natural world. Our destiny was not here. We deserved a better world, although we had not even begun to appreciate the beauty and grandeur of this world or the full measure of its entrancing qualities." The faith community now has the opportunity, through the good work of observing and celebrating life here, to help lead humanity into a great reverence for creation, our planet home, Earth. Keeping a curious eye on the enchanting Phoebes, the Orb Weaver, Mockingbird, is no insignificant pastime. It is our great work. I think now of the city officials and the children, especially, of Flint, Michigan, as I read these prophetic words from Thomas Berry. "A taste for existence within the functioning of the natural world is urgent. Without a fascination with the grandeur of the North American continent, the energy needed for its preservation will never be developed. Something more than the utilitarian aspect of fresh water must be evoked if we are ever to have water with the purity required for our survival. There must be a mystique of the rain if we are ever to restore the purity of the rainfall." This is very exciting work that we get to do. Evolving into an understanding that opens and expands our current understanding of communion and our way into letting Earth heal us. As evolution seems to be God's way, our emerging spirituality is too. Though it is a progression, it is surely a radical change that may take a little time for us to grasp. Not only are we to be in communion with the impulse to life, the force of life, God, Not only are we to be in communion with each other, we are now capable of and called to communion with all life. But there's even more. As we grow in that level of consciousness and awareness, perhaps eventually we will understand an even deeper truth. Perhaps eventually, and hopefully soon, we will become capable of realizing that we have always been in communion with all life. We have always been part of the natural world. Then we will see that as one living earth system, everything we do matters. Maybe we will also see that we are living into an emerging spirituality where around the revelations gained through scientific observation. You saw the children this morning. Now we know Earth wasn't created for us. We know that the natural world was created, and eventually, over a very, very, very long time, we became part of it. We have no existence except within the Earth and within the universe, writes Barry. The human is less a being on the Earth or in the universe than a dimension of the Earth and indeed of the universe itself. Earth is not only home. The Earth, the natural world, is not something apart from us, something out there. We are part of Earth. Just like the Phoebe, just like the mockingbird, the orb spinner, my little grandnephew is Earth too. You are the Earth. We are Earth. And our evolution may have to do with Earth getting to see itself through us. When we watch the Phoebe or the orb spinner or one of those beautiful Oklahoma skies in the evening just after Earth rolls up and the sun disappears, it is no wonder that we stand in awe, that our heart swells, that we feel joy, that we feel love pouring around and through us. We are seeing our beautiful self in the sky. We are experiencing the revelation of who we are, an integral part of the miraculous, wondrous, stupendous life of Earth. If we're paying attention to this wondrous, miraculous planet, if we're being in awe of the exquisite details and the wide expanse of life here, if we're coming to know more and more deeply that we are Earth, there's less chance that we will continue our suicidal ways. There's less chance we will continue to destroy the atmosphere, the water, the soil, the Phoebe, the orb weaver, the mockingbird, each other. Thanks be to the great force of life that flows through one and all.